Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution, hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Ascribe ye greatness to our God. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. That's Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. And speaking about the Lord God is real, but one true God who is the Lord. Psalm 44:21 says something about the Lord God Israel. It says, he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. And there is much evidence showing that he knows the secrets of the heart of the AVB, Authorized Version Bible. In the many archives of Lawmaster, you have a treasure trove of information from the Lord God Israel. And in that information, Bible secrets are revealed and made known. So there's much evidence that shows that the Lord knows the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. That's what he works with. He works with the crucial content of the Authorized Version Bible. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. Okay. And we find there another thing about the Lord God Israel, it says, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. He is a God having knowledge. And again, I direct you to the archives of Lawmaster, and you'll see that knowledge. That knowledge is there for you. It is there for all to partake of, to share, to learn, and to act according. Okay? So, he is a God of truth. He is a God who is just and right. He knows the secrets of the Authorized Version Bible. He is qualified to assist you. He is qualified to lead you. He's qualified to direct you. The title of this episode is Have Faith in God. That's taken from Mark 11, verse 22. And you should have, and you can have faith in God because of these reasons. God is just. By him, actions are weighed. He has knowledge. He is right in his conclusions. He is upheld by the Authorized Version Bible. He is upheld by the Bible. So he is qualified. He is qualified to direct, to lead. To lead you with his truth. Have faith in God is to trust God, trust his word, follow him, obey him, serve him, love him, worship him, have faith in God. He presents his truth, and his truth is able to deliver you at all from the deception of the enemy. Okay, so now we move to Job 34:25. Therefore, he knows their works. He knows the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. He knows the works that are in the Bible. What works? Such works as the law of the curse. The curse, another word for curse is objectives. Of those objectives, the Gentiles and the papacy conspired to overthrow black people. They conspired to enslave black people. They conspired to reduce black people to the status of merchandise, things that are bought and sold. They conspired to destroy black people. That's the law of the curse, which is, as I said, a set of objectives that were carried out, first planned and carried out by the Gentiles against black people. The papacy and the Gentiles working together to bring about the destruction of black people. Right. All of this is in the Bible. The Bible is a record book. And that record of the Gentiles' work in destroying black people is recorded and is there for our learning. Also, there's the law of Passover. There's the law of God. The work of the law of God, the work of the law of Passover. There's the work of faith, the work concerning faith. And there are two faiths that are talked about in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, the record book. The book bears record of the Gentiles' unsound, immoral, substandard faith, which is in Christ Jesus, which they, the Gentiles, have not ceased in teaching and preaching, though they were commanded to cease doing that thing many years ago, and they should have abandoned the faith that is in Christ Jesus, along with slavery. It should have gone out with slavery. The same for the Christian religion. All of this has to do with the law of faith. The Christian religion, Gentiles who are Christians should have done away with Christianity when they did away with slavery and the slave trade. Okay? But it is evident now that they have not abandoned Christianity. They have not abandoned the faith that is in Christ Jesus and teaches that Jesus is Lord. He's a living person. When in reality, Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a fictitious character. Okay, so God knows their works. He is a God who has knowledge. He is able to lead. He is a God, again, who is just and right. Just and right. The papacy, the Christian religion, and the faith that is in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, those things have been condemned. They've been condemned. Okay? And the people should know that. We all should know this information. As I said, it's here recorded in the Authorized Version Bible, the record book, for our knowledge, for our learning, for our gaining. Okay? So, and he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows the works that are in the Bible. He knows them. Okay? Job 36, verse 9. He shows them their work, but them. He shows them, the people, their works, whether they be Gentiles, blacks, or otherwise. He shows the people their work. Okay? The works that are in the Authorized Version Bible, the works that he, the Lord, takes, having searched them out, arranged them, given them an order, put them in order, put the information in order. He prepared the work, and he brings the work forward for the good and for the knowledge of the people. Now, there's a statement also in Romans 1, I believe. I'll turn to it. Romans 1, verse 18. Verse 18 speaks concerning the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Holding the truth, the Gentiles charged with holding the truth in unrighteousness. The Gentiles are charged with concealing the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Christian religion and the faith concerning Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior are condemned, and that the Gentiles have been commanded to forsake those things, give those things up, depart from those things, those evil things. Okay? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, Romans 1. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. Again, God shows them the works that are in the Bible. God shows the people his own works, his works. Okay? And that's what I share with you. I share with you my work. I share with you my findings. I have analyzed Bible content, and the Bible in question is the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. I've analyzed it, found out its secrets, found out its crucial matter, and I bring that information to you, the people. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. That which may be known of the Lord God Israel is manifest in my work. Manifest in my work is manifest in the Lawmaster's archives. I manifest it in my speaking and my teaching. God has showed it to them. What have I shown to you? I've shown to you the law of the curse. It's in Lawmaster's archives. I've shown to you the law of God. That also is in Lawmaster's archives. I've shown to you the law of Passover. That also is in Lawmaster's archives. I've shown to you the law concerning faith. The law of faith, which has to do with the abolishment of Christianity and the faith that is in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Also, I've shown to you the faith that is concerning the living God. Yes, how you are to turn from the vanities of Christianity and the unsound, immoral, substandard, evil teaching of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to the living God. How you are to move from one faith to another faith, from the old faith, the old unsound, immoral faith, Christianity, to the new faith in God, which I have made known to you. Here we go right here in Romans 1:17. It says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The statement there, the phrase there, from faith to faith, how you go from one faith, the old unsound faith, to faith in the living God. Okay? So, God shows the people his works, and in doing so, he shows them the works that are in the Authorized Version Bible. God shows it to them. I have done that, and I continue to do that. I do that which the Bible ascribes to God. I do the work of God. That's what I do. These are things the Bible says God does. Who is actually doing them? I am doing them. The Bible calls me God. Whosoever does the work appointed for God is God. Okay. And there is only one God. Okay. Okay, Romans 8:10 says about God. It says, this man, what man? The present speaker is the great power of God. God is a great power. God is also this man. God is a great power. God is a man. This man is the great power, having the designation of God. What man? The present speaker. Okay. Have faith in God. Put your trust in the living God. Psalm 14, verse 7. I'm really excited about this statement here, because this is what I do again. This is what I do. Yet the Bible says this is the work of God, the Lord. Psalm 14, verse 7. Just these words right here, underline these words right here. The Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Just those words. The Lord brings back, the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. That's what I do. And that's what I've done, and that's what I continue to do. Bring. What is the verb in that statement? The verb is bring back. What does bring back mean? It means resurrect. Resurrect. Bring back into notice. Bring back into the discussion. Bring back before the people. Resurrect. Okay? The Lord brings back or resurrects the captivity of his people. Who are his people? Well, obviously, if you see my picture there, you know that I am a black man. The Lord resurrects the captivity of his people. Black people were taken into captivity by the Gentiles and the papacy. Okay? I talk about that. I've talked about it within the few minutes I've been on air now. The Lord brings back. He puts before the people, he remembers, calls the people to remember and be mindful of the Gentiles' captivity of black people. The Lord brings back the captivity of his people. The Lord resurrects that which is old. He resurrects the Gentile captivity of black people. And it says the Lord does that. Well, that's what I do. Talking about it now. Talking about it now. I do the work appointed for God, the Lord. I do the work. I do that. I do those things the Bible says God will do, the Lord will do. Isn't that something? He who does the work of God is God. The Bible's God. Again, this man, not something up in the sky somewhere. Can't see, can't feel, can't touch, okay? Can't hear. no matter how much people say, the Spirit said to me. Well, God hasn't said anything to you except this God right here, the present speaker. So, I'm just glad to know that the Bible upholds me in my opinions and my judgments. I confirm things that the Bible says. Just as it says, the Lord brings back or the Lord resurrects the captivity of his people. That's what I do. So I have confirmed that statement. He knows the secrets of the heart. I give you much information showing that I know the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. So what have I done? I have confirmed that statement that says he knows the secrets of the heart. Okay. All right. Okay. So, yes, that statement there, you need to mark that so, as you do all the statements, what I bring up. Okay. That's Psalm 14, verse 7. The Lord brings back, the Lord resurrects the captivity of his people. Who are his people? It speaks of the black people who were taken into captivity by the Gentiles and the papacy. Psalm 107, 41 and 42. And okay. Psalm 107, 41, 42 says this right here. This is not the statement that I wanted, but yet I'll read it. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a rock, like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. What shall the righteous see that will cause them to rejoice? The righteous will see that what I teach is truth. The righteous will see that and rejoice. They will see that what I teach is truth. I teach on the Gentiles' captivity, the Gentiles' conquest and captivity of black people. I speak of the Gentiles' enslavement of black people. These are things the Authorized Version, the record book, speaks of. Okay? I speak of the law of faith, the law concerning the evil, wicked, immoral, unsound, substandard faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I speak on the sound faith concerning God, the living God. I make people wise. I cause people to be wise to Bible content, to the crucial matter of Bible content. In other words, I give people a good understanding of Bible content. That's what I do. The righteous will see that and rejoice, the scripture says. What are you seeing in me? What are you seeing in my teaching? Does my teaching cause you to rejoice? Okay. Now, the intended statement was Psalm 106, verses 41 and 42. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen. The papacy gave black people into the hands of the heathen, who sold black people into captivity and enslavement under the Gentiles. The papacy did. Now, these are evil works. Okay? What the scripture said earlier? God shows them their works. He knows their works. He shows the people their works. He shows the Gentiles their works also. Gentiles are included in this. He shows them their works. Okay? And we see and we know beyond any doubt that these works are evil. He, the papacy, gave them, the black people, into the hand of the heathen. The heathen here is a reference to the Gentiles. Who sold black people into slavery? The papacy sold black people into slavery. Okay? To whom? To his people, to its people, the Gentiles, who operate under the alias of white people. Isn't that clear? That's clear. That's clear teaching, okay? And they that hated them, those are the papacy and the Gentiles that hated them, the black people, ruled over them. They that hated them ruled over them. Who hated and who ruled and who did they rule over? The Gentiles and those are the papacy. Hated black people, and they, the papacy and the Gentiles, ruled over the black people. They ruled over the ones they hated. Okay. Who had the rule during the time of the Gentiles' enslavement of black people? The papacy and the Gentiles had the rule. Okay, who were the subordinates? The black people were the subordinates. Who were the conquerors? Those of the papacy and the Gentiles were the conquerors. The conquerors of black people. Their enemies also oppressed them. The statement earlier said what? The Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Okay? That's what this is about. I've been bringing it up. I've been bringing it up for some time. Because I can't help from bringing it up because so many scriptures refer to it. So many scriptures in the Authorized Version Bible speak to that event. The Bible deals greatly with that event, the Gentiles' conquest and enslavement of black people. That's why the Gentiles have been judged. That's why Christianity has been judged and abolished lawfully, legally, because of this evils done to black people, done against black people. The papacy. That's why it has been abolished legally. The Bible is a law book. Legally. In the Bible, the papacy has been abolished. The Christianity has been abolished. And the unsound, immoral, substandard, evil teaching concerning Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has also been abolished. The Gentiles taught the black people that they took into captivity an unsound, immoral faith. Okay, these are war crimes. War crimes. And they're taking black people into captivity. They're enslaving black people. They're reducing black people to the status of merchandise. Things that are bought and sold. War crimes. War crimes. Yes, so, again, He the papacy gave them, the black people, into the hand of the heathen, the Gentiles, and they, the Gentiles, and those of the papacy that hated them, the black people, ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. The black people's enemy oppressed them. Blacks are still oppressed by the enemies, the same one enemy, Gentiles. Those of the papacy are Gentiles. Their enemies, black people's enemies, oppressed them. We know these things to be true. History teaches that. But the thing about it, the Bible teaches those things or these things also, as well. Isn't that something? This is eye-opening. This is eye-opening. And I've said these things many times, but still, these things are still bombshells that the Bible talks about. The Gentiles' conquest and enslavement of black people so much, and in great detail. In great detail. Okay? These are details right here in Psalm 106, verses 41 and 42. These are details. Here's a detail in verse 27 of the same chapter. To overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. Who were overthrown and who were scattered among the nations of the Gentiles? Black people were overthrown by Psalm 106, verse 41 calls the heathen. Black people were overthrown by the heathen / Gentiles, and they were scattered by the same. Blacks were scattered. The children of the scattered right now, those of us today, children of the scattered, descendants of the scattered, don't know where we are from. The Gentiles have told us we are from Africa. No specific geographical location in Africa, just you are from Africa. It is very clear that the Gentiles have no respect for black people. This is true. I mean, you have multitudes and multitudes of black people who are descendants of those who were scattered about by the Gentiles, who know nothing of their history before the Gentile conquest and subsequent enslavement of black people. This is huge. No wonder the Bible talks about it. No wonder the Holy Bible, get that, not just a book, but the Holy Bible talks about so much, focuses on not just a mention, one or two mentions here and there, but focuses on. Now, they say that the book of Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. Well, we see that in the middle of the Bible, the enslavement issue comes up, the scattering of black people comes up, the Gentile, heathen oppression of black people comes up. What comes up in the beginning of the Bible? Let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis, the book of Genesis, and see what happened. Genesis 11. Genesis 11 says, says this in verse 4, we be scattered abroad. Who is scattered abroad? Black people. Who has been scattered abroad? Black people have been scattered abroad by the Gentiles / heathen who were operating at the hand of the papacy. Operating under the papacy and operating in cahoots with the papacy. Partners in crime. Partners in evil. But yes, we are here at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 11. Not even the middle of the chapter, middle of the book. Genesis has 50 chapters. And before we get to the middle of the first book of, in the Bible, we see this. We be scattered abroad. We see this, we go on down in the same chapter, chapter 11 of Genesis, first book of the Bible. It says this, it speaks to the matter at hand. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad. Well, they want to frame the Lord. The Lord is the present speaker here. Okay? The Gentiles, we know that the Gentiles scattered black people abroad. The Gentiles, working in conjunction, in cahoots with, partnering with the papacy, its leader, the Gentiles' leader. Yes. Scattered them abroad. And verse 9. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad. This is not the work of the living God, the true Lord. This is the work of the papacy and the Gentiles, / heathen. Yeah, the scattering abroad of black people. Now, if you are black, listen, and you think this is a small matter that I'm speaking about, then you are actually in opposition with the Bible, because I'm reading from the Bible. And they put these things have been put in the Bible for our learning. The scripture says what? The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Learning. One day, I did not know that the Bible dealt with the enslavement issue. I did not know it. I had gone to church for years. I did not know it. I did not know that the Bible dealt with, not just a mention, but dealt with in detail. But this is in the first of the Bible. That's the same book. Let's go to Genesis 15. And we still haven't gotten halfway the first book in the Bible that brings up the Gentile enslavement and scattering and all of black people. Genesis 15, starting with verse 13, and where it says, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Who are strangers in lands that are not theirs? Black people. Black people who are scattered abroad. Black, the descendants of blacks who are scattered abroad. Strangers in a land or in lands that's not theirs. In a land that is not theirs. Or in lands that are not theirs. This is something. This is huge. The Bible sees it as a huge issue. We went from the middle of the Bible to the beginning of the Bible. Okay, but I haven't finished. Strangers in a land that's not theirs and shall serve them. Serve, black people served Gentiles and the papacy, and they, the oppressors shall afflict them 400 years. Have not blacks been afflicted many, many years by their Gentile captors? And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward, okay, that's it right there. The nation whom they, the black people, shall serve or did serve will I, the Lord God, judge. Judgment is given to God. The scripture says he is a God of judgment. Let me go back to Deuteronomy and see if it says that. Wherever it says it. Okay, in Deuteronomy 32:4 it says, all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Okay, but there's another scripture that says he is a God of judgment. Okay, the Lord is a God of judgment. He has judgments. Okay? All his ways are judgment. That says it right there. He's a God of judgment, characterized by judgment. Okay? Yes. The Gentiles must carry out their judgment. Just as I said a few days ago, just giving an example of the United States of America's motto, In God We Trust. They are commanded, the Gentiles / heathen, are commanded to have faith in God. They are commanded to trust God. I've dealt with that. That's in Lawmaster's archives. They are commanded to do that. So, the United States motto is a vow, and a vow is a resolution. A resolution. Wherein the Gentiles defer to the commandment, have faith in God. And they say what in their vow, which is a resolution? They say, in God we trust. We trust in God. That is possible for them to do now. Because God is here. I am here. So that's possible now. They said it. They resolved to do it beforehand. Now that motto of the United States of America speaks in behalf of all Gentiles everywhere. Get that about that motto. Okay? All Gentiles are under the law of trust in God. All Gentiles. That statement speaks for all Gentiles. Isn't that something that the Gentiles would do that? In one of their mottos, voice the resolution, their decision to trust God as they have been commanded. And now it is possible for them to do that because the Lord God has made himself known and is still seeking to make himself known, as the scripture says in John. Okay, so that's the beginning of the Bible. And we saw the middle of the Bible, something it has to say about slavery. Now let's go to the end of the Bible. Now there is much more in between the beginning and the end. Okay, much more on the matter at hand in between the beginning and the end. Revelation 18. Some of you knew that's where I was going. Some of you knew it already. Okay, that's good. You're learning. You're learning. You're moving with God. You're trusting God. Okay? Okay. Revelation 18, verses 11 through 13. I won't read everything because I've read them, but I'll just bring to your attention. This statement speaks, this is a law for the Gentiles. This is an old law. The law is sin. Okay? The law is evil. This law gave the Gentiles the authority, the power to view black people, their captives, as merchandise, and it also gave them the power to buy and sell black people. This law, Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13. Okay, and at the end of 13, you see these words, and beasts, these are things that are bought and sold, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. There you go. You have black people listed in an itemized list of things that are bought and sold. That's evil. That's evil. Okay? What the scripture said, the nation whom black people served, will he judge? He, God, judge? The nation is the nation of Gentiles / heathen. Okay. Now, the Gentiles are called heathen, and I read that scripture, so don't anybody get upset about that, you know. Okay. I read the scripture, Psalm 106, and that's not the only scripture that calls them heathen. Now, who's responsible for Bible content? Gentiles are responsible for Bible content. I did not write it. Okay. And these things are put here for our learning. So I can't act like the word heathen is not in the scriptures. Okay? Just like Gentiles is there, heathen is there. Okay? Israelites is there. The word Israelites is there. Okay? I can't act like that doesn't exist. The word Amorites is there. The word Hittites, okay? Parasites, okay? I can't act like things don't exist when I'm reading them and looking at them. Okay, let's move on. So, point being, the Bible talks about the enslavement, the Gentile / heathen, conquest, subsequent enslavement of black people through and through. Okay? And, of course, I have given many other scriptures on the matter, okay? The in-betweens, okay? I've given many of those in-between scriptures in past broadcasts. Okay. But isn't it something, the point, that what I talk about, I am backed by scripture. The scripture says, Psalm 14:7, the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. The Lord talks about those who captured his people and held them in captivity and enslaved them, reduced them to the status of merchandise which is bought and sold. The Lord brings back, the Lord resurrects the captivity of his people. I am backed by scripture in what I do. So, anyone ask, why does he talk about slavery so much? Why does he talk about the Gentiles capturing black people and holding black people in captivity? Why does he talk about the Gentiles who operate under the alias of white people? Why does he talk about their reduction of black people to the status of merchandise, things that are bought and sold? Why does he talk about those? Why does he talk about the Gentiles / heathen scattered black people? Why does he talk about that? Why does he talk about it? Simply because the scriptures talk about them. If they weren't in the book, I wouldn't be talking about them. I talk about things that are in the book, and this is in the book through and through. If you keep up with Lawmaster, you'll know that. Many scriptures. Okay, let me move on because I do want to get these in, and you'll see some more points. Okay. Point is clear. God resurrects the Gentile conquest and enslavement of black people. It's very clear. The Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Okay. All right. Deuteronomy 28:68. Quickly. Not going to deal with it. Just see what it says. Deuteronomy 28. Okay. Thou shalt see it no no more again. And there ye shall be sold to your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen. Who were sold to their enemies? Psalm 106 told us. Black people were sold to their enemies, the Gentiles slash heathen, for bondmen and bondwomen. In other words, for slaves, for servants, for slaves. Okay, that's the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, so the papacy sold black people into captivity, oppression, and slavery. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:68, black people were sold to their enemies, the Gentiles slash white people, and I'm adding another one, slash heathen. Okay, there I see I misspelled people, so I must go back and make the change there. Okay, let's see, P-E-O-P-L-E. Okay, make that correction there. All right, now, Revelation 18:11-13, I read that. We saw that. I read it in part. The Gentiles dehumanized black people and placed them in a category of things that are bought and sold. Psalm 105, verse 13. They went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. The Gentiles went from one nation to another in conquering. Black people went from one nation to another nation, from one kingdom to another kingdom, being sold and traded. Heard of the slave trade? Yes. Okay. That's what we're talking about here. Okay. Zechariah 7:14, black people were scattered abroad by their enemies, Gentiles. Simple as that. Okay. Question of interest. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's Psalm 11, verse 3. The righteous can rejoice. The foundation of Christianity, the foundation of the faith that is concerning the immoral, unsound, substandard, evil, wicked, depraved faith that has to do with Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Yes, the righteous can rejoice. Okay. And also Psalm, Proverbs 9:6, says this. The righteous can go in the way of understanding. That's what they are commanded to do. Go in the way of understanding. Who gives the understanding? The Lord God, Israel, gives the understanding. Okay. These things right here, Matthew 5:39 and 5:44. Okay. I'm turning to them. Okay, what are these things? One, Matthew 5:39, resist not evil. That's not a true commandment. That is not a true commandment because we are told to resist evil. We are told to depart from evil. We are told to forsake the wicked. We are told to put away evil from among us. Huh? Yes, yes. So this statement right here, resist not evil, is not a true commandment. It's wickedness. It's what the Gentiles taught black people when they were slaves, and what they'll still teach you if you let them. Resist not evil. Okay, so the statement resist not evil is not a true commandment. It is an evil thing. Okay, and the statement here in Matthew 5:44, same thing goes for it, which says love your enemies. That's not a true commandment. That is a wicked thing. It is evil. And it comes from evil, okay? Of course, Gentiles taught the slaves to and beat them into loving their enemies, you know. When the Gentiles, it is, if we look at their past, they have a record of not loving their enemies. Look what they did to black people, huh? Look what they did to black people, okay? Look what they did to the Indians here in America, the United States of America. They viewed the enemies, Indians, as their enemies. And look what they did to them. Okay? Okay, look what they do today in real life. They bomb their enemies. Huh? They bomb their enemies. Shoot them down. They bomb them. Okay? So, do Gentiles love their enemies? No, they don't. They bomb their enemies, okay? They fight their enemies, okay? All right. But they'll tell their enemies to what? Love your enemies, which in essence they are saying to other people, love the Gentiles, even though they do you evil. Okay, but those are not, those two things are not true commandments. They are evil, and they are of evil. Love your enemies and resist not evil. They are not sound things. They are not good things at all. Okay. Question and answer, Psalm 14:4 and 1 Corinthians 8:1. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? The Gentiles' response coming from 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, we all have knowledge. Can we say that? Can we say that we have knowledge now? We have knowledge of the evil, and we have knowledge of the good. We have the knowledge of the evil things as of Christianity. Okay? Isn't that a whopper? Isn't that a wow statement that Christianity is evil? Yeah, look what Christianity did to black people. Look what Christianity has done to Indians over here in the United States of America. Look and see what the Christians have done. Christians meaning a reference to Gentiles / heathen, operating under the alias of white people. Okay. But do we have knowledge? Are we getting knowledge? I'm giving knowledge. Are you getting it? Okay. What's after that? Let's see here. Statement of concern, the people had no knowledge. That's Deuteronomy 1:39, between good and evil. Before I came and brought you the truth about the good and evil, about the evil of Christianity, okay, evil of the papacy, evil of the faith, unsound faith concerning Jesus as Lord and Savior and a living entity, before I came and brought you the information that I'm bringing, before I brought you to, came and brought you the knowledge concerning God, the living God, the true God, the one Lord, okay? You had no knowledge, and when you read the Bible, between good and evil, the church didn't give it to you. The church is an evil institution. The church, the papacy, Christianity, okay, all of those things, you know, one in the same, you know, okay, the same, all in the same boat, okay? When you speak of Christianity, you're speaking of what? The church. When you speak of Christianity, you're speaking of Gentile behavior, conduct. Okay. Okay. God gave them knowledge. That's what I do. I give the people knowledge. God should give knowledge of salvation to his people. That's what I'm doing now. That's what I'm doing. Okay. Black people's hope. This is interesting. All of this is interesting. All of this is good. Everything I teach is good. Luke 1:71 and verse 74. Luke chapter 1, verses 71 and 74. We, black people, should be saved from our enemies. This was a slave's hope. This was the captured black's hope. Okay, take notice. We, black people, should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us, white people, Gentiles, / alias, white people, heathen. Let me read it without interrupting. We, black people, should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, may serve him, the living God, without fear of retaliation from the enemy. Okay, now I added that part of retaliation. I added those two words to that to make the statement clear. Okay, otherwise, well, I'll just let it go like that. Okay, that's what I did. Let me read the Black People's Hope, and this was when they were slaves. Now, when they were slaves, let me read that once more. We, black people, should be saved from our enemies and from the hand, and this is what they expect, okay? This is the hope. What did they hope? What did they desire? This is a desirability statement, statement of desirability, okay? We should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us, that we, black people, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, the papacy, the Gentiles / heathen may serve him, the living God, without fear. Okay. Should people, who, regardless of who they are, should they fear God? Should they respect God? Godly reverence, godly fear? Yes. So clarify the statement, without fear of retaliation from the enemy, from their enemies. Are they enemies? And notice, the Bible uses the word enemies. Okay? The Bible, okay? Okay. All right. Now, that's good. That's what we hoped when we, what? Were in captivity. Before we forgot who we were. Before we forgot that, hey, those of us, the descendants of those who are scattered, hey, these lands wherein we are, these are not our lands. These are not our lands. In war, after war, what do countries do with the captured enemy? They send them back. You know, those soldiers who were captured and all like that, war prisoners, they send them back. Unless someone had done some terrible crime or something. But I mean, generally, normally, they send the captives back to their lands. When we were free, those who were scattered abroad, because the evidence still remains, okay? The evidence still remains. Many black people are found, what? In lands that are not theirs. And they got there by way of their ancestors who were, what? Held in captivity, held as prisoners of war, and enslaved. The United States made the captured black people citizens. They didn't return. The many of us still here. So the evidence is here. The evidence is clear that black people were not returned. Because what? Black people were left in the land of their enemies. They were not returned. That's not good. That's saying that what we had before the Gentile / heathen invasion and conquest and subsequent enslavement of our people, what we had before that doesn't matter. What we were before that doesn't matter. That none of our past before the Gentile invasion and conquest of black people, nothing before that matters. That's throwing away history. Forgotten history. That's bad. The enemy decided to make us citizens. That's not good. Remember, we have forgotten who we were. And it's good. The record shows in the record book, the AVB, it shows in lands that are not theirs. America is not black people's land. England is not black people's land. Who has the rule? All you have to do is ask yourself, who is in charge? Who's in charge? This is not our land. We are strangers still. What the scripture said? Genesis 15, strangers in lands that are not theirs. No. And you give me a little job, or give me a big job where I'm making much money and can buy a lot. At what cost? Then I forget who I was. I forget. I don't care where I'm from. It doesn't faze me in one bit. It doesn't matter. That's bad. I don't hear anybody talking about that. That's bad. Let me say this. At least I think it's bad. I think it's bad. I don't know where I'm from. I think it's bad. I don't have knowledge of what language my folks spoke before the Gentile/heathen invasion and conquest and subsequent enslavement of black people. I think it's bad. I think it's bad that I don't know anything of the culture of my ancestors before the Gentile conquest of black people. I think that's bad. I think it's bad that I don't know anything about myself and my own people before the Gentile/heathen invasion and conquest of my people. I think it's bad. I think it's bad. Yes, I'm poor, but if I was rich, I'd still think it's bad. It's bad. And you write something on a piece of paper declaring me to be a citizen, and I should rejoice and forget everything that I've lost. No wonder we are called the lost people. The lost people. Those blacks who were scattered abroad. Those descendants of blacks who were scattered abroad. You don't know. A lost history. A lost people. I think it's bad. Okay. The Gentiles know their history. They know theirs, and they are proud of their history, irregardless of all the evil they have done. And they stand up and say, this is a great nation, as though slavery never existed. They don't say, this is an evil nation. We've done much evil, and we owe the now present descendants of those we cast into slavery, we owe them so much. No, they still disregard black people. That's total disregard, total disrespect. Make me think I'm a citizen. And I don't have any say-so. Yeah, cast a vote. I know it's just cast a vote. Black people have been voting for years. We still don't have power. We're still not in charge. But that's not my point. That's not my point. My point is just this. The book, Baby B, Authorized Version Bible, speaks so much about the matter. Don't forget this. It seems hard for me to forget. I'm not trying to forget it. But it's really on my mind, that phrase in Genesis 15 that speaks, strangers in a land that is not theirs. Where are you today? Where are you? Will you say, no, I'm not a stranger. I'm a citizen. How much power you have? How much power your people have? Who's in charge? Who's running things? What of your history? Do you say that doesn't matter? Now, that's ignorance. That's stupidity. For a black person to say, my history before now does not matter. It matters even though I don't know. It matters that I don't know. It matters to me. To me. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I would that you hear the truth that I teach and that you do as the commandment says, have faith in God, trust God, but you believe him, and obey him. Love him. If you don't love him, you won't obey him. If you don't love the living, true God, present speaker, if you don't love him, you won't even hear him. You'll argue with him as he talks, even though he can't hear you. You know, love God and keep his commandments. If you do that, that's huge. If we love one another, we black people love one another and be glad that there is a book in the Gentile world that that exalts a black man to God. That book is the Authorized Version Bible. That's something to rejoice in. That's something to rejoice in, that a black man has discovered the truths, the hidden truths, in the Gentiles' top book, the Authorized Version Bible. A black man has done this. People are honored for so much less. We see it every, we see it on TV. We see it every day. People are honored for so much less. And this man has fathomed the Bible. This man has solved the mysteries in the Bible. And you act like he has done nothing? Let's just call it a day with that. The end. What is expected? Psalm 106, verse 10. Black people's deliverance from the power of the papacy by the truth that comes from the living God. That's the end.